six verses of this chapter present for us another aspect of the dichotomy between the self-righteous heart and the heart that's made righteous according to God's standard. That's what Jesus has been dealing with in his Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5, chapter 6, now chapter 7. We see this distinction made between those who make their own hearts righteous through their own efforts. And they fail, by the way. It's always a failure. And the heart that is made righteous according to God's standard. And Jesus is presenting himself as the way to true righteousness. And Jesus shows this matter to be important with respect to how we respond to the faults of others. Do we respond with a self-righteous heart, or do we respond with a true heart of righteousness that reflects the Lord Jesus? How we respond is crucial to the spiritual well-being, both of ourselves and the offender, the one who is at fault. The wrong judgment from the wrong heart can do great damage to the believer. So Jesus shows in these first six verses what it is to judge righteous judgment. And we'll consider these words here this morning. Follow along as I read these first six verses. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Our Father, as we dig into your word this morning, we ask that our eyes would be opened by your Spirit's power and help. I pray that our hearts would be opened as well, and that humbly we would allow you to, Lord, to probe deeply into us, that, Lord, we might be made aware of our need. Lord, we come to you as needy people, expecting, Lord, that which only you can provide for us. And I do ask that your word would be powerful in our hearts this morning. And give us, Lord, clear, focused hearts and minds to receive from you this morning. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to notice, first of all, in that very first verse, an important warning. This is an important warning. Judge not, that ye be not judged. Now, after we read verse 1, it's important to pause and consider who Jesus is speaking to. Who is he addressing? And go for that, we go to verse 5, and I want you to notice the first two words there. Thou hypocrite. Thou hypocrite. And so while verse 1, judge not that ye be not judged, has been applied broadly to any kind of judging in any circumstance with anyone, Jesus here is addressing this matter of judgment in a specific context. The word judge here means to discern, to separate out, to determine something. And it's used broadly throughout the scripture. Here, though, Jesus is using it in the context of discerning the faults and needed remedy in the heart and life of another person. But you'll notice his audience, he's speaking here specifically to those who are hypocrites, those who judge with the wrong kind of judgment, not with righteous judgment. So this verse 1, is not an absolute prohibition of judgment. There is no absolute prohibition in Scripture to refrain from all kinds of judgment. In fact, Jesus made judgment. He made the right kind of judgment a responsibility for you and me. In John chapter 7, verse 24, he says, "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." And so it's clear that verse 1 is, the command that he gives here in verse 1 is specific in its scope. He's addressing the religious hypocrites in his audience. And he was very critical of those hypocrites who followed and listened to his teaching, specifically the scribes and the Pharisees. And throughout his ministry, he rebuked them for requiring of their followers a form of religious piety while subverting God's own laws themselves. And we've seen Jesus preach and teach against this kind of behavior in these two chapters, previous two chapters, 5 and 6. And now in verse 7, he continues addressing this matter of religious hypocrisy. His message in this sermon was to bring people to an understanding of true righteousness. And that's what he continues to do here in this first part of chapter 7. He's furthering the goal of helping people to understand how to truly be righteous, specifically here in this context, how to judge righteous judgment. Considering one's own heart is a critical element of following true righteousness, and that's what Jesus is calling them to do here in the context. Consider yourself. Think about your own heart, your own faults, your own failures before you judge another. And Jesus' warning here is based on the understanding that your judgment opens you up to reciprocal judgment. When you exercise judgment against another person's behavior, words, or beliefs, you consequently open yourself up to the judgment of those same things in you. And so be careful when you go to judge, be careful about the heart attitude that lies within. So we see here, first of all, an important warning: judge not that you be not judged. And he continues in verse 2 with an important principle. And he says, for, and he's giving, that indicates the reason that he warns about how we judge. For, with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And so here's the important principle that Jesus gives in verse 2. Every judgment that an individual makes is rooted in a standard. It has a measurement, right? Every judgment is made with a measurement. And that standard is the measuring stick for the behavior that is being judged. Now, as believers, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, your standard has to be the righteousness of God. And throughout his sermon, Jesus has articulated the standard of God's righteousness for human behavior. Because many had created their own standard of righteousness according to their own understanding and their own personal behavior. But it is the righteousness of God that is our standard when it comes to how we live before God. And this is the important principle that Jesus establishes. With what judgment or with whatever measurement you judge someone else, be sure that you will be judged by that same measurement. Now he's calling each individual to apply that standard, not just to the next person, but to himself. And that's because there is unavoidable reciprocal judgment when it's exercised towards another. In Romans chapter 2, Paul is arguing man's accountability to God. And he establishes this same principle in verse 1 of that chapter. He says, "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things." And so human judgment always involves a reciprocal element. When we exercise judgment against another, we invite that same judgment and that same standard of judgment against ourselves. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 34, we won't turn there, but you recall that parable where Jesus says that a servant, unable to pay the debt that he owed to his master, and that master demanded that that amount, that debt, be paid immediately, and that servant could not pay. And so the master ends up forgiving the servant of that debt. And what does the servant do? He goes back and he does the same thing that the master originally did to him. He demands payment of a debt, a much smaller debt, from a fellow servant. He applies that same standard to that fellow servant, but he fails to apply the mercy that was given to him to that fellow servant. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 32 to 34, "Then this Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, he was angry, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him." And so the important principle here in verse 2 is that the standard by which you judge others is going to be the standard by which you should expect judgment against yourself. In verses 3 and 4, we see an important question. Jesus poses a question here after establishing this warning and establishing this principle that with what judgment ye judge, you will be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. He poses now an important question. "And why beholdest thou the mote?" That's a speck, a little splinter, a piece of dust. "Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam, the plank, that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother," how can you possibly say to your brother, "Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye"? And so Jesus applies the principle of verse 2 here with an important question that he phrases in two different ways here in verses 3 and 4. Why would you be concerned with the speck in your brother's eye when you have a plank in your own eye? Why would you offer to remove that speck from your brother's eye when you can't even see clearly because of the beam in your own eye? You see, the human tendency of self-gratification is to apply the standard to the next person without considering oneself. And the reality that Jesus shows here through physical illustration is that the physical design of our bodies is such that we can readily observe the appearance of other people without being able to as easily observe our own appearance. It's not impossible to do, right? We all have mirrors in our houses. It's not impossible to do, but it's just not as easy to do. It's easy to see the faults in others, but difficult to see our own. And that's because of our own deceitful heart. And so Jesus uses the physical illustration, verses 3 and 4, to show the spiritual truth. That it's hypocrisy. It's absurd for you and I to make judgment against another without having first considered and dealt with the spiritual issue in our own heart. We readily consider the behavior of others and we condemn it, but hardly consider our own behavior to condemn our own. And this is nothing more than pride. Right? We're typically harder on others than we are on ourselves. And this is simply the sin nature at work. Right? We observe this in children. They want everybody to share with them, but they don't want to share with anybody, right? They don't want their sibling to have the last piece of dessert. Why? Because they want it themselves. And they see the fault in brother or sister taking that last piece, but they don't see the fault of their own heart being angry that they're not getting it. And you and I do that on a much more sophisticated level in our own hearts. And that's the point that Jesus is making as he asks this important question. He's driving home the truth that you must first apply the standard to yourself, to your own heart, to your own behavior, before you apply it to another. And as with every spiritual discipline, humility is foundational here. This won't happen. We won't judge righteous judgment without a heart of humility. But when we possess humility in our hearts, and by the way, that's a lifelong cultivation process. When we possess humility in our hearts, then we can make proper judgments. Humility is a way to true righteousness and true righteous judgment. So we see, first of all, we see the important warning, we see the important principle. Important question. I'd like you to notice next an important virtue. That's in verse 5. Thou hypocrite. He calls out the individual who is hasty to point out the fault in another, but lazy or careless to find the fault within self. He lays out this important virtue, thou hypocrite, first. Cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. So here Jesus gives a biblical approach to judgment, to discerning fault in the heart and the life of another brother or sister. And by the way, we'll get to this in a moment, but any time that you go to take the mote out of a brother's eye, or even a plank. Anytime you confront somebody with an issue in their life, it ought always to be with this heart of humility that says, I want to help them be more like Christ. And we'll get to that in just a moment. We'll touch on that some more. But that has to be the underlying motivation. But here Jesus lays out in verse 5 the biblical approach to judgment. It's the path from hypocritical judgment to righteous judgment. And he says, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye. The truth is, concern for a brother or sister in Christ is no concern at all without a sincere concern for self first. In other words, if I go to a brother and sister in Christ and I say, hey, I've noticed this, or hey, this is not right. This needs to be dealt with. There's no true biblical concern or Christ-like spirit in that concern unless I first have considered myself and my own heart in that same regard. You must hold yourself to the same standard that you hold others to. And you must deal with your unaddressed faults before you attempt to deal with others. Now, this isn't saying that you have to be perfect in order to help somebody else. Okay? That's not the point here, but the point is simply, don't go to to a brother or sister in pride without having considered, first of all, your own need. And so you must hold yourself to the same standard that you hold others to, and you must deal with your unaddressed faults. And by the way, the standard needs to be a biblical standard, not a standard of your own making. But this requires spiritual self-searching. And James articulates this kind of hard attitude when he encourages believers to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Keep your finger in Matthew 7 and go to James chapter 1. And I want you to see what James says here that touches on what we're dealing with in Matthew 7. James chapter 1 in verse 22. He says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, that's a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. In other words, he goes to the mirror, he sees his appearance, he sees the problems, and then he walks away without having done anything about it. That's you and I when we come to God's word and we hear it or we read it, but we don't obey it. We don't do it. And James says in verse 25, but on the other hand, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And this is a hard attitude that Jesus is outlining in Matthew 7. It's the heart that says, I want not just to have a standard, not just to know the standard, I want to live the standard. This is a heart that casts the beam out of the eye of self. It allows the Spirit of God to apply the Word of God to the heart in a cleansing fashion. It's a heart that knows its weaknesses and its temptations, and it cooperates with God's Word to address them. It allows God to do His work to remove that blinding sin. And when you and I gather each week here in this place, it's important for us to be willing and to be ready for the Spirit of God to accomplish His sanctifying work in us. I know it's easy to come and to go through the motions and go through our routine, but we need to come here each week ready and willing and expecting that the Spirit of God is going to speak to us through the Word and that He's going to accomplish His will in our hearts. We ought to want to have our toes stepped on. We ought to want to have our hearts encouraged, because we ought to want to change. We ought to want to have the beam taken out of our eye so that we can see clearly spiritually. And so we ought to enter the worship service with an expectation of God's refining work in our hearts, knowing that it is something that He purposes to do in us. That makes us the right kind of judge, according to Matthew chapter 7. Casting out the beam out of our own eye so that we can see clearly to cast out the mote out of our brother's eye. In the second part of verse 5, back in Matthew 7, Jesus says, first of all, cast out the beam out of thine own eye. And then He says, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye. So He shows that removing the beam, the plank, out of your eye places you in a better position to help the brother with the mote, the splinter, the speck in his eye. And I want you to show you in Galatians chapter 6, if you turn there as well, Galatians chapter 6, I want to show you the practical outworking of this. according to Paul. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. And there Paul says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault. In other words, if he has a mote or a beam in his eye, if he be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Do you see the connection there? Take the beam out of your own eye so that you can see clearly to take the mote out of your brother's eye, just as Paul says, you who are spiritual, you who know how to deal with your own faults, you who are desperate for the cleansing of God in your own life, you restore the man overtaken in a fault. And you do it with a spirit of meekness, and you do it as you consider yourself, lest you also be tempted. You see, the practice of self-consideration, of finding the beams in your own eye before you remove the mote from your brother's eye, this practice before judgment fosters a sense of humility and of mercy in your own heart. And that's what it takes to judge righteous judgment. Lastly, we see back in Matthew 7, verse 6, an important distinction. The message that Jesus is preaching, that he's teaching, would not be received by all. And so he says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Jesus knew that what he was preaching and teaching would not be received by all. And that's borne out throughout his ministry, the opposition that he received. There would be some who had not cultivated the humility and the obedience that was expected to believe and to obey by faith. And so he compares them to animals that have no sense of value for that which humans consider valuable. And if you have a pet, probably particularly a dog, best known for chewing up things they shouldn't be chewing up, you understand the concept, right? They don't appreciate your things of value like you do. Of course, he uses the dog, because the dog in that day was even worse than dog in our day. They weren't commonly pets, right? They were typically stray, mangy scavenger of the neighborhood. They weren't pampered family pets. And so Jesus says, don't give that which is holy unto the dogs. What's separated out for human use, human consumption, don't give it to the dogs. He says, neither cast ye your pearls before swine. Pigs, of course, were unclean to Jews, and they would have been treated as such. And so both, Jesus says, are examples of those who refuse to listen, who refuse to obey and to believe, and therefore should not be given that which is holy, that which is precious. He's establishing here the principle of efficiency and effectiveness with the truth. He's not promoting discrimination. There will be times when the believer is treated with hostility, and it's wise for him to turn away and to present God's truth to those who care to listen and to those who will receive it. And Jesus practiced that in his ministry. He taught his disciples to practice that. But the message is, judge righteous judgment. Use righteous discernment. Be careful of the heart attitude within yourself. when you judge others. Sometimes it's not worth it. Sometimes you turn away and you spend your spiritual effort, time, and energy in that place where God shows you will make the most impact. I want to ask you in conclusion, though, this morning, do you judge righteous judgment? How do you think about other people? How do you look at other people? What do you measure them up against? And do you hold yourself to the same standard to which you hold others? And that all, the answer to all those questions will tell you what your heart attitude is. Is it a heart of pride or a heart of humility? Lord, help us. Father, we need the humility of Christ. I pray that you would teach us, Father, to develop a heart of humility that cares deeply for those who are, Lord, who are entrapped in sin, burdened with things that, Lord, are paralyzing them spiritually. But help us, Lord, to develop this with a heart of humility that, Lord, is concerned first and foremost with our heart before you. I pray that we would allow you to do the heart searching that is needed. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit who's faithful to show us our need and, Lord, the way that need can be met. And Father, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to bow low before you today, and that we would all bow low. Lord, we are all your people. We are all your servants. Lord, at the foot of the cross, we stand on level ground. And I pray that we would allow you to have your will and your way in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. As you stand with me and as the hymn of invitation is played, I invite you to go to God in prayer. And where he may have put his finger upon a particular point of pride, maybe prejudice, would you yield that to God? Would you confess it to him? Receive his forgiveness and ask him to transform your thinking, the way you think about yourself, first and foremost, and others, secondly, so that he can use you to be a tool of spiritual encouragement and a tool of maturing in the lives of other people.